I've written too much, and perhaps not enough about Kristen's, that's actually engaging Kristen's text.
I also want to say, because I don't want to forget, thank you very, very much, Tom and Grace, for offering your wonderful space.
So it's both too long and inadequate. It's called Ruins Music. Do you have a title?
No, there's no title.
Okay, on Kristen Gallagher's Grain Elevators project. And the epigraph is, quote, salvage to destroy this piece of rock I stand on, what memory links. Okay. If I'm droning on, just stop me. The grain elevators are the closest thing we've got to cathedrals, or arcades, or crumbling Ruskinian castles, for that matter. They are our ruins, what sustains attention a danger about this place's history, a surrounds residual sounds, which, as Susan Howe writes, dictates the sound of what is thought, and I would add, in Howe's case as well as Kristen's, written. One of my students this semester is a dedicated participant in the politics of his community, South Buffalo, which gets dumped on most by the weather of any place this side of the lake, which may perhaps get it the most by the struggling municipality as well, disregarding pockets of the so-called east side, which unfortunately I know best by my commute to UB. Concluding a section on public space in our composition class, the student told me afterwards, "That was cool. I'm interested in the stuff we're talking about." To which I replied,
"Congratulations, you're mayor."
To which I replied how important our conversation seemed, considering Buffalo's current situation, for which he cited a recent example of a building demolished in his neighborhood, to which I replied by pure cliche, "It's a shame." To which finally he replied, to paraphrase, "But in the building's demolition, it becomes beautiful and thus memorable," reflecting a sentiment expressed numerous times since I've moved to Buffalo by friends and colleagues, but also by complete strangers, as if they had a shared secret to tell me, the newcomer, non-Buffalonian, of their legacy this side of the century. A beauty that ensures memory's perseverance. Ruins are beyond Burkean aesthetic conceptions of the sublime and the beautiful, as Robert Smithson tells us in his article on Frederick Olmsted's Central Park and Dialectical Landscape. This beyond crystallizes in his definition of the picturesque, the example of which he gives after aestheticians Price and Gilpin, of a tree struck by lightning, which has since been smoothed by weather, overgrown by moss, healed, however, retaining a scar, its wounds index, mark of violence enacted upon it by nature, flux of its structure, of the fact of its being. For Smithson, Central Park is similarly rendered picturesque by photographs of the landscape, which remain indexes of change, cuts in time made by the flash's instance. In Eduardo Cadava's book, which Kristen actually introduced at a talk by Cadava, in Philly, in Cadava's book on Walter Benjamin's relationship to photography, Words of Light, he writes and quotes, as Benjamin writes in Central Park, in a passage that, associating life with the coming of death, whatever is struck by the allegorical intention is severed from the context of life, is at once destroyed and conserved. Allegory holds fast to ruins. It offers the image of petrified unrest. In Smithson's article, New York's Central Park offers an allegory of petrified unrest through the part of the park called the Ramble. This is a quote. At Bank Rock Ridge is an entrance to the Ramble, a tangled net of divergent paths. Just the day before, I had been looking at stereo-opticon photos of how this place looked before 1900, before the vegetation Olmsted planted had grown up. At that time, the shores of the lake still had the look of a rock-strewn quarry. Olmsted had wanted to plant rhododendrons, andromedas, azaleas, kalmias, rhodoras, but his plans remain only partly realized. Olmsted was attracted to this place before he did anything to it, because it was exceedingly intricate, with sweet gum, spice bush, tulip tree, sassafras, red maple, black oaks, azalea, and Andromeda. The network of paths he twisted through this place out of labyrinths. Labyrinths. For what really is a ramble, but a place to walk aimlessly and idly, is a maze that spreads in all directions. As we know practically, as artists recognized not long after photography's inception, photography, opposed painting, is not necessarily more realistic, and certainly not a perfect rendering of the world. Instead, photography may be a way to explore optical realities and, perhaps more usefully for our purposes, provide a tentative aid to remembrance by tearing a moment from time's diachrony. Snapshots like blinking, death or history interrupted, time of conflict interrupted. In Kristen's contribution to Terry Cuddy's video, Transient Views of Western New York, Terry and Kristen chose to shoot grain elevators of Buffalo, accompanying the footage with an audio track of Kristen reading a prototype of the piece she will read tonight. The first images of the video are stills taken from aerial photography of the grain elevators. The stills zooming in as Kristen repeats, for 147 years, or for 15 seconds, type, amount, date stored, bin number, evoking a repetitive labor time, the efficiency of those elevators, Corbusier, exalted, the architectural apotheosis of Enlightenment classificatory models. Throughout the video, the shooter removes and replaces a filter on the camera's lens, producing stark contrast in the way we see the seemingly marbleized, mausoleum-like elevators, which cannot but remind one of what Rachel Whiteread's casts of tombs and rooms, of objects negativized, absented by inversion. Buffalo's nightmares, as one journalist writes about them in Kristen quotes in her work, crypts or cysts or cathedrals, abscesses, absences, scents. How does one write a poem of ruins? Isn't this the question? This has been my central question as a poet for some time, and I believe Kristen's as well. For both of us, Benjamin has been crucial for composing responses. At the heart of the question lie many other questions. So we may also ask, how does one both sing and communicate history? How to negotiate the emergency of history's contexts with the problems of composing breath, movement, emotion, sense, and song? I think I may have found part of the answer in Louis Zukofsky's seminal formulation, A12, an integral, lower limit speech, upper limit music. To sing or speak history as poetry accordingly, on a case-to-case basis, of the urgency or emergency of historical events. Throughout his work, Zukofsky sings at varying levels or degrees, yet arguably, he achieves his lowest limit at one of the more extreme moments of emergency in his lifetime, specifically after the seizing of Paris by Germany and its allies. A10 conveys events and facts more directly, more immediately, than any other section of the work. In its emergency, it would prefer to speak than sing, something that may have been difficult for Zukofsky. In A10, he writes, the poet stops singing to speak plainly. So Kristen's work also embodies problems of both dictating the sound of what history feels and thinks and negotiating historical fact in its poetic expression, song, lyric. Kristen's lower limits, facts, quotations, autobiographical prose, anecdote, quote, the worst part is, I can't really write this. When I look in the archives of the Buffalo Public Library's special collections, there's a local history section in which I find conflicting information about how much grain went through Buffalo in a given year, etc. A possible upper limit, quote, the well-known place, life's long race, a current is a strong place, impact, shock, a blow, where two tides meet, they've cut races between two creeks. We would take the water from a creek on one side of a mountain by means of a race, mayoral races, armament, arms, moon, space. There are many other problems that I'd like to talk about in this what's becoming an essay. I'm just in for it. But I, 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 I won't do that. And the only thing that I will do is read a poem and dedicate it to Kristen that I wrote after a conversation we had. Morning is your joy to be from the south, and excavated and elevators undefeated, and a lens that blinks pycnoleptically. What haunts the laps of water, bound to cross, bound across, twinkling in the sun like bottles, actual bottles wrecked on a sunny sea. Who saw the blood on the chain, a place not visited yet repels, who heard residually one grain descending and descending the chutes. Friend of a century, we owed because we live. The lake still will not freeze, the lake unfrozen, to and from which futures are sent. Friend of a century, we owed, we live instead. The lake still will not freeze. Her photographs froze again. Kristen Gallagher.
Photographs, and I want to thank Kyle for coming out there with me and having a harrowing experience, which I'm sure you can ask either of us about afterwards if you want. October 24th, 1842. Dear Sirs, I have done it. Perfected plans for first grain elevating silo. I have won. No, Irish backs are not the best grain elevators. Yours, J. Dart. Passing through a place of conveying. Eastern Mills, Western Wheat, Great Lakes Artery. 1842, first commercial, 55,000 bushels. 1865, 27 elevators, 6 million bushels. 1899, 40 elevators, 20,920,000 bushels. 1926, 34 elevators, 40 million bushels. 1934, 21 elevators, 41,988,000 bushels. 1948, John Fader, a salvager, buys Great Eastern Grain Elevator, reducing the area's grain storage capacity to 55 million bushels. Removal included the entire structure, down to its concrete foundation, all the tanks, five small sheds, buildings at the north end of the elevator property, the railroad tracks, and the street pavement. The wrecking of the building and tanks would yield more than 3,000 tons of scrap metal. Silo equals time. Wooden memory peers through its own holes. In-facing oxidation of flour. Ferric oxide extracts frailty from all structure. Things pass, light of eerie fraught to pierce. A perch, second and third stories falling through firsts. Concrete chip, crushed boot, uncashed check. Shock and soot-stained confidences radiating the world picture. Evidence. A once moving charge far away, a different kind of wartime, blending into the background of America. Light of eerie fraught, starry stories hard with holes, cement dust returning finished stars, estranged, dislodging time and breath. This amalgamation got stuck in a place which cannot afford to hide its catastrophe. Fingerprints and the sound, rattling absence of grain. For as you began, so you will remain, river between. Purity, the 6 cent preferential rule. British rule, Canadian grain, 6 cents tax. For Buffalo's privilege. quote, what each ship meant abroad via Buffalo, documents your proof so entire, we fail to remain intact from Canada to the seaboard and across the ocean, 1934. Between 1924 and 1933, receipts of grain at Buffalo aggregated 2,084,355,544 bushels. The biggest shipment occurred in 1924, when 287,326,936 bushels were forwarded here for unloading. In that year, Canadian grain comprised approximately 3/4 of the total shipment received at that point. That each shipment be accompanied by documents, purity. By 1948, almost every newspaper article concerning the Buffalo Harbor observes efforts to increase tourism. Remain pure, what grain can, to what future bread abroad. It ended up costing Canada less to dig their own canal to the Atlantic. A great vacation spot, Buffalo Courier Post, 1943. The aggregate life's long race. A current is a strong impact, shock, a blow, place where two tides meet. They have cut races between two creeks. We would take water from on one side by means of then mayoral, armament, moon, space. And in one hand, mirror bright, driven by the hammer, best, whose, right, that as it ruins, refines. This makes it concave, reflect it back a flame, that they will always find a way of thinking such that the law is evident. Conveyor and belt and down rope burst, to shoot and pulley up belt around life as scale or chain, dart and flitting empire, flitting wood up and marine leg and light burst through window down brick and tile and conveyor through rope and steel, bones, concrete and concrete and concrete through shovel has marine back and arms and legs has been light. Back window up and through around arms and scale arms as brick and concrete legs marine shovel life shovel belt pulley up empire through shovel do and die steel down as life do brick and broken light concrete back broken arms and legs and tile empire steel arms and die down belt life would light do and die as life wood window, as life shovel steel, legs light as belt, wood, steel, back light as chute and concrete, wood pulley and chain light, as wood empire, and light broken window empire, has been broken up, pulley down, light wood chute, rope, concrete, has been, and empire, has been belt, dark, flitting, thin. These are the parts of a grain elevator. Head house, for cohering an ideal pattern. Balanced book shoots into policy, into revenue, reinforcing bases, ever concrete. Distributing floor, but the head house organizes, the place which may explode distributes. As bodies go, this is the heart. Here, note the importance of windows, airflow, spanning, light, opening. The era of the large grain dust explosion recorded on a chalkboard. A physics of internal pressure, passing through platonic cylinders, as sometimes wind makes moisture crash, temperature, cloud of grain dust, and the lightning, hunger, fermented. Thousands perish in wild burst. Bins, the bend at gut level, support falling, shake the cot, and at bottom, trace, last passer's afterlife. Something, as something, pure movement, complete emptying, determine, exchange, wrap up, packaged, fill, form, grammar, proof, unclear universe. Of absolute identity, discover fingerprint. Sir Francis Galton coined the term eugenics by process of sorting genes. Hierarchically arranged, Sir Francis of the same, English proprietors, same sanitized price, guaranteed grain. Beans by type, Bins America quick mix. Beans by same, Bins by trace. Beans from origin, Bins displace. Beans marked high, Bins leave as life leaves. Race, running, sliding, sailing, riding, in competition with one or more rivals, a contest of speed. A race of large torn cloud, white as milk. Rain seed down, reap underfoot. Whether interstitial, outerstitial, flat, poppered, question tact, acceleration, setback. Work floor, below ground, slab on wood, window to wall, connect all sides. Bin bottom ceiling, people called scoopers, columns at 12-foot intervals support the entire structure. Scoopers in the bar house, waiting for the boat. Barman makes the call out, who will get their oats? He calls the men who live there, he calls the ones who drink. The more money spending makes it easier him to think. When the boat arrives, they clamor around the barman tight. He awaits the head house numbers, how many work tonight. Everyone knows who knows who's back to load the frame. The barman chooses all for these passers of the flame. The grain men laborers, scoopers, Irish bats, compelled to drink and wait, and pay to live above the bar, on wood slab bed, no wife allowed, but girls would. In this way, the bar ruler eventually runs for mayor against other bar rulers. Campaigns are brutal. Type amount, date stored, bin number. 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 Repeat for just over 147 years. Then fall silent. Sound on into the drowsy race of night. It flew at my chest. But when anything comes through the poem in the way of information, it comes at the expense of some other or bit possible. A fray off the edge of some oblivion, maybe a tapestry, maybe endless threads of fray, each to weave and unweave. When I search the archives of the Erie County Public Library, the special collections, which there is all local history, I find conflicting information about things like how much grain went through Buffalo on any given year, and things like what year a company abandoned its elevators seemed to go unrecorded. No one cares at that point. I did find out that you can buy a grain elevator for a dollar from the city. When a company abandons a site, the title reverts back to the city. It costs more than the amount you can sell the salvage for to tear down a grain elevator. Companies, it seems, would rather pay damages to the city than pay to tear down an elevator. So they just sit. That's what Tim Thielman says. I trust Tim Thielman as much as anyone. Preservating curious precision, one runoff pipe of the revelation. Not having seen a thing happen and the intention to write it up. Can a year here or say here? Why is this place? Some writing is done for survival. Surely the bones were buried here. It flew at my chest and ungainly, anyone immersed feels, a covered over fact inevitably, enough to tell just a necessary lie. But this is absolutely true, or so I hear. Father Conway Park in South Buffalo in the 90s experienced a burst of enthusiasm for Little League baseball. And there was Little League baseball on Wednesday nights and Saturdays and Sundays. And there was no bathroom at the Little League park, so people were pissing in the open. Some group of people, you know, I don't know who exactly, but some people who were interested in Little League, which the whole neighborhood really was. This is actually Tim Thielman's This Neighborhood's Got Spunk story. Somebody organized a request for a bathroom to be built in Father Conway Park, because it is a Buffalo park. And they requested five times, and they got no reply, not even a no, nothing. And so they decide to stage a protest, a civic action, and they call the newspapers and then the television news and reported to people that they should come out for the civic action, which during the seventh inning stretch was all men in the neighborhood, boys, grandpas, people in walkers, whatever, lining up along the baseline, facing outward to the audience, taking a piss. They got their bathroom a week later. Very nice. It's a really, really nice bathroom. It's probably the nicest thing in that whole neighborhood.
Well, when you're not there.
Monument, document, nation. Element, not subject, hardly see. pink and purple sky, rusted rocket on its pad, back door of the free. 1842 says, I have done it, darting, endless chain of buckets, emerging, ugly monster, digging, eerie. 1891's anonymous, they break up the skyline like huge chunks of darkness, nightmare buildings. 1924, Eric Mendelssohn allowed childlike forms, elemental, awkward power, submissive to pure need, primitive, sucking in, spitting out again, future world, just beginning to order itself. 1931, beauty and work, beauty and work, beauty and work, the Marxist pastoral. New Deal, Wright Morris, does not include people. FSA grant does not include Wright Morris. FSA wants human struggle, non-existent in human-made structures. 1960, writes, uses, speaks, indigenous, make light listen, or first ask them, transmitters of tradition. 1984, designs the light, already breaking. MoMA, architecture in the American landscape. 1999, peeling paint, rusted metal, graffiti, patches of lush greenery. Nature creeps, human sleep cranes into new neck monitor. If anyone go outside, melts in front of its TV. 1999, Buffalo News, ghosts of a prosperous yesterday. One true petrification left. If caught, no longer flitting, precipitate by stopping, molecule by molecule in rich replacement, dark to matter, robbing yet, casting light. Light says of passing arrows, arrows eventually go through each other. A wall is like that too. Wall of mirror angles, angels, bricks, through windows that light for water, wall of air, decay forgotten, wall forgetting. Gravity transpart awaiting, takes the path of least time, folding here, a vortex, neither light nor grain nor air, but continue, listen. Whisper, old men, echoes, falling parts. Nothing to chisel our facts with now but this, on air interrupting. Power voters, metal detectors, hoping. A lottery of scraps in the canal. Raised dead did dark light flip, piss. Surely the bones are. Raise dart light flip, piss, here, and piss bin, bend, here. The contagion. You cannot keep out of it any more than you can keep out of the frost. A cemetery as trans, let fall their stony particles. Let the wave of the tomb that sounds send its single drop of ink to rescue, to bleed, return a certain salvage of wisdom, recirculate questions from the world's great shipwreck, to steal, purloin, see the cranes picking her carcass. And this song from the Carter family, 1934, when the train all the country music singers took went from the nation's capital through New York to Buffalo. See that train coming down the line, trying to make up all of her lost time. from Buffalo to Washington. Salvage, to destroy. This rock I stand on supports my entire being. What memory links. Groove here where once he turned the corner and he kissed him and told him they were going on strike. Groove here where the door hinged.
Yeah. 2 seconds to me.
We have to move in order to go.
Okay, so.
This is good.
Yeah.